I guess I'm wrong. All right.
Well, hello.
Welcome to two
filthy fucking nerds.
We're disgusting. It's awful.
Just downright filth.
Absolute trash.
New York City street trash.
Prepare to be disgusted.
It's trash so bad a rat wouldn't even eat it.
Ew, I don't think that exists. Not in New York City. That's why they thrive there.
Do you know that rats are like taking over New York right now because there's no restaurant trash for them to eat? They're like trying to break into apartments.
Oh my God. They're going to fucking... I wouldn't be surprised if they evolve into a species that can like murder people.
Yeah. Well, the hungry rats are very... Have you seen the documentary Rats about the rats in New York City?
No.
Dude. Don't watch it.
No, I can't.
Fuck you up.
I'm so scared of them already.
I watched it and I'm like one episode and I was like, we're good. I don't need to know any more about rats.
Ugh.
Rats will take over that fucking city.
For sure. Get out while you can, New York. Run.
Go to the Hamptons.
Get
a gun. Where it's safe.
Where it's safe.
Goodbye. Where they have safes because they're rich people.
Because they're rich. Yeah.
That's where people keep their money.
Can I live in the safe?
You could fit in a safe. You're safe size.
I'm safe size. I'm safe size instead of fun size because I'm not fun.
But nope, I'm safe. But she's safe.
Am I?
Sometimes it's more important than being fun.
Amen. Okay, look, you guys.
We watched the movie, the second movie.
Yeah, and it's, surprise, surprise, not as good as the book.
Not as good as the book.
So, who knows?
It's unfortunate that they, I mean, I like that they made them into movies because it made the books more popular.
Yeah, and it's like people who wouldn't have read the books saw the movies and thought, wow, if everyone's saying the book is better, I've got to read the book.
Yeah. But I just don't understand how they could miss the mark so much on a few things. A lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, they cut so much, which arguably, even as we were reading the book, you were like, I don't really understand how this adds to the exposition. I mean, Nearly Headless Nick was not a forefront character, which I feel like he had been.
Like, there was no reason for the dead party.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to call it. There was no reason for the dead party in the book.
You called it in the book, though. You're like, it seems like it was just a reason to have them not be in.
Yeah.
And then they just did it without it.
It worked.
So, I don't know.
Maybe she was trying to introduce more about the dead characters because they're going to play a part later in, like, other books. But it's like, in that case, why wouldn't you just save it till then?
That's true. Or, like, Justin Finch Fletchley was not, you know... I guess he was a character in the sense that there was the snake scene in the dueling club, but we didn't learn his name. We didn't like find out, you know, he didn't introduce himself to Harry. It wasn't this like part. He didn't even get petrified.
Yeah.
So the ghost existed in that case to be like, well, he must have looked through the ghost.
Yeah. But it's like, in that case, you could have just been like, well, he saw it through the ghost, like they did in the movie. Like they didn't need to.
Yeah. They just like got to it. It wasn't like this big exposition, you know?
And then the Dursleys in the beginning.
I guess you were happy about that. That's what we decided from now on. At the end of each book, I'm going to get Nicole to tell me, like, well, what would you cut? Because someone pointed out, because we did a live viewing of the movie, as we always do with our patrons.
Nerd our patrons. Our nerd herd, yeah.
Patreon.com/2filthynerds. The second movie is the longest movie. Granted, the last book is divided into two movies, but like individually, this was the longest movie, and this isn't even close to the thickest book.
Yeah,
they still had to cut so much.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how much they're going to be cutting out of the other ones. I mean, I saw the size of all the other books.
I mean, especially when once you hit Goblet of Fire, it's like tanks.
Yeah,
that's book number four. Whew, they thicken up.
Ooh, we like them thick.
A couple things that we, I guess, we'll chat about. This isn't going to be a long episode. It's just us discussing the differences. You know what you were excited about for the Polyjuice potion? In the book, they have to steal a bunch of stuff from Snape's place. Mm-hmm. So they do this whole scheme where Harry has one of
Harry runs fireworks
go off and everyone gets hit with the swelling spell.
Yeah. I was excited to see that in the movie because I was like, ooh, that'll be fun to see how they do that because that'll be a nice like visual of like people's faces exploding. And then they didn't do it.
They just didn't do it. You know what I did like though? They kept the pixie releasing of Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah, that was fun.
I loved Neville hanging from the chandelier going,
dude, and by the way, did that happen in the book?
I think he gets lifted up. Something happens with Neville. Something always
But he didn't get hung on.
No, I think that was an added touch, but I did like him going, why is it always me?
Yeah, why is it always you, Neville?
And also, the fucking Quidditch game with Malfoy.
Uh-huh.
in the book, Malfoy just looks like a complete fucking idiot. He's got a snitch right by his head. Harry dives. He grabs it.
Uh-huh.
I understand because you want action in a movie.
Yeah, you want more of a visual appeal of a, in an action
so
sequence.
So there was this, like, side-by-side flying of them, but I hated that Malfoy sort of gets to look like he's decent.
Yeah, he looks far more competent than he did in the book, and that's...
a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, him being made a fool. And that...
I don't know. I wouldn't say I get it, but I feel like for Americans, everybody wants the battle between good and evil to be at least close.
Yeah, like they need this fucking edge of your seat.
Yeah, like suspenseful type thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, in any Harry Potter Malfoy encounter at this point, I'm just assuming Malfoy's going to get his ass wiped.
Yeah, because Harry Potter is fucking Harry Potter.
Yeah. He's a G.
Also, they didn't run into Lucius and Draco in Nocturnalia.
Yeah.
That whole thing, the overhearing of, oh, I need to trade some stuff, never happened. And then the handoff of the diary in the bookstore was way more obvious. It's like a whole second book that he just shoves into her cauldron.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, when he says that, I'm picturing... it's a slender diary.
Yeah, it's a slender diary, and he puts it in a giant big book.
So she thinks it fell out of this used book, you know, that it was an accident. This one, it's like, I'm sorry, you just had a whole extra book?
You just had a whole extra book.
And you're like, I guess I have it.
But then also, Harry saw it.
Yeah, why wouldn't
Harry
say something
at that point?
Yeah. Maybe at the time, he didn't register that that had been something that he hadn't taken out of her hand.
Yeah.
That would be my only thought. Also, Ginny Weasley. Let's talk about her.
Yeah.
Because
in the book, she sounds far more small in stature. I'm imagining, even though they're a year apart, I'm imagining a girl who's kind of like very underdeveloped for her age.
Me.
You. Like it's just a tiny little
redheaded
ramen fed baby.
Yeah. She just is depicted in the book so just naive.
Yeah.
Like I picture, like an 11-year-old who looks 8.
Yeah. An 11-year-old who looks very tiny, tiny, tiny for her age. To the point, because it's like, I almost feel like in the book, everybody's just kind of like really looking out for her because
she's a baby.
Because she's a baby. But then in the movie, I was like, you're way bigger than I imagined.
Like, you're just a peer. Like, you might as well, you're fine.
You can take care of yourself.
You could probably beat up Percy.
Yeah.
By the way, they never showed him having a girlfriend. That plot just didn't exist.
Yeah. Which...
did it?
I mean, it also didn't need to exist in the book.
Yeah, now I'm wondering, like, is that going to become a thing?
Is there going to be a payoff? I love how you're like, is that going to be a thing? Like, you don't know, bitch.
Yeah.
You're really good at it. You're so good at it.
Well, it's also just like, was that whole plot in the book to try to get readers going, oh, Percy must be up to
something? Maybe a misdirect.
Just as a...
because then they didn't do that in the movie. They didn't use that misdirect at all. There was no suspicion of Percy at all.
No. At no point was anyone watching the movie like, maybe Percy's up to something.
Yeah. I also, every time I imagine Percy when I'm reading, it's not what I see in the movie. Like, Percy's just such a... I just picture everyone bigger. Like,
yeah.
He's older, so he's bigger, but he's like...
but he's
all...
very scrawny. I think he's smaller than Fred and George.
Yeah, he's smaller than Fred and George. He's kind of like... he's just slight. Nothing of consequence about him. And then even the brothers, I was picturing the brothers being a little more like, I was imagining him to look more like rugby players when I was reading the book.
Yeah.
Because when I think of Quidditch, I compare it to like, that's the equivalent of like rugby.
Yeah. Cause it's so rough and aggressive.
It's just, and it's the, and that's the sport in Scotland, Ireland, you know, in that region of the world, that's the big sport there.
Is
so I'm imagining
the big region.
No, rugby's. Well, there's soccer too, but like rugby's
like soccer,
huge
like
there. Yeah, yeah, football. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But there's but rugby's huge there.
Yeah, and that's, you just picture these like built dudes.
Yeah, I picture these huge, just yoked dudes, you know, just with like cauliflower ear, just like smashing into each other. But they're not, they weren't like that at all.
No.
They were just kind of
there.
They just, first of all, I think it's funny that just two troublemakers
Are also jocks.
Are also jocks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't imagine troublemakers to be jocks. I imagine troublemakers to be like,
hey, we're a versatile breed.
We have much versatility. I love that you were a major hockey player, state champion hockey player.
Yeah. Oh, I was like fifth line. I was 100% on the team because of my enthusiasm, not because I deserved to be on the
character.
Team.
Character.
Yeah. No, no, no. They were like, well, we don't really have enough people to field a team. So I guess you can suit up and just sit on the bench and try to stay in the way.
Be happy. Be excited.
But in state champions, we were ahead so much that
they let you in.
Well, because, you know, lines constantly, I don't know if, for who watches hockey, but like lines constantly aggressively, like quickly switch.
Uh-huh.
And the coach, who was this guy named Reg, who would scream at us. He was old. He would scream and spit when he screamed. And one time, I swear to God, he was screaming at us. And he had like drool that went down his face. And then it just froze because we were on the ice. And there was just like a line of drool just hanging. And our assistant coach was this Canadian guy named Rob, who I swear to God, I was like, look, if you want to fuck a student, I'm here for you.
Ready, willing, able.
Just all the time. I was like, hey, Rob, if you decide to, like, you know, you want to fuck a student, we can fuck.
I can keep
secrets. I was sexually harassing my teacher or my coach. But we were ahead by like 3 or 4 points. And he looks at me and two other girls were on my line and we're all fucking jackasses.
Uh-huh.
None of us knew how to skate before we joined the team. Like,
really?
Yeah. And by the way,
just joined a hockey team having no ability to skate.
Yeah. Cause my best friend, Ashley Myers, who was like a fucking hot, like a literal beast. Like she was good at hockey, was like, hey, come to hockey tryouts. I was like, I don't play hockey. She's like, it doesn't matter. There's not enough people to field a team. We need bodies.
That's so sad.
Oh yeah.
Not only did you learn how to skate, but you had to learn stick handling skills.
I will say this. I'm really good at stick handling.
Yeah.
The skating, I could be better at. Mostly the stopping. I can't do a hockey stop.
How did you stop?
I just would run. I would go, I can't stop! And then hit shit.
Amazing.
I once cross-checked a goalie and got put in the penalty box. Like it was like an accident. Like
I did not mean to. It's just you were the only person I could stop against.
Yeah, it was like I looked like I was just an asshole, but I was like, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to hurt you.
Did you hurt yourself at any point?
No, the fucking gear. I will say this about hockey gear: so protective. One of my teammates like completely wiped me out, and I like fell backwards and slammed my head against the ice in a helmet. But the helmet was so thick that I was like, wow, this is great. I feel fine. But maybe I'm not. Maybe that's why I've always been insane. One of the other girls that was on my line is a comic now.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name's Alyssa Yeoman. She's a comedian in Seattle. And the other girl was like, I think maybe funnier than both of us. Like we should all just be comedians. But yeah, no, the last like minute or less of the game, because so much can change so quickly. So it must've been maybe even like 45 seconds. The first line's coming off and the second line is getting ready to go out.
Uh-huh.
And Reg, like it's so corny. And he's like, ah, fuck it. You guys, get out there.
You're like, all right.
And we all like,
and then you just skate across the ice till you hit the wall.
One of the best part is that it's like fucking everyone, as they're coming off and getting on, people hop over the fucking, like the box where you're sitting. They just hop over the wall. But we had to have the door open because we're too fucking stupid. And we're like bumbling out there. And then the fucking buzzer goes off. So we got to be on the ice when we won state championships.
Amazing. All the girls who like played the hardest were like, they got to be out there for that.
But they knew they won. They were captains. They got, but someone must've been pissed. Cause they put,
what year was that when you were senior?
This is my, that was my junior year, but my senior year, they put our, for our yearbook layout for sports, it was like a big picture. And then they would find two people on the team and get quotes from them, put their picture. And someone put my quote in there, my quote was like, it was like, there are 153 pieces of gum under this bench and 84 of them are winter fresh. It was so stupid. Anyway, we got way out of hand.
God, you know what? That conversation was more exciting to me than the fucking movie.
The whole movie. But the point is, that you don't expect, when you hear that these two are like troublemaking pranksters, I picture like gangly, not sport.
Yeah, a little more emo.
Yeah, like that they would be more likely to be in a punk band.
Yeah.
Than in a, I picture like Blink-182 high schoolers.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine if I were to recast this, I wouldn't even know. I don't know actors who would be that age, but I definitely wouldn't pick those two.
Do you think they got a lot of pussy?
I hope they did.
They were funny and they were on the Quidditch teams.
Two redheads.
I mean, they got a lot to overcome.
Yeah, a lot.
You know.
A lot, I know. Fake as shit, though. What else was different? We have notes here.
Yeah, we do, because it was There was so much. Let's see. There was no... Oh, the ink spilling on the diary. He just started writing in the diary.
Yeah, he just knew to write.
Yeah, so in the book, he, like, spills his ink everywhere in an incident trying to get away from a Valentine's dwarf, which they also, I don't think they had.
No,
was they didn't. So he's, like, so embarrassed. He doesn't want this fucking
I didn't think they needed the Valentine's dwarf anyways.
No.
That wasn't necessary. And then...
There was, let's see. Oh, in the movie, Hermione knew what a mudblood was.
And also, it didn't seem like, it seemed like Ginny was really into him in the book. Like, super, super into him in the book. But in the movie, she didn't seem as, she seemed into him a bit. Like he made her nervous, but not really.
Yeah, so it was like... Yeah, she didn't seem as, like, shy and, like, oh, my God, there he is, which would have been cute to see.
I mean, there was a moment of it when he, like, came to the house. Oh, and also no denoming the garden. That was a bummer.
Oh, really, that would have been cute. That.
Just as a cute, just quick.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
A quick peek into the life there. They really didn't show life there that much. Like when he got to the house and he saw the magic was cleaning the dishes in the sink, that was like fun. I thought we were going to get more of that, but whatever. They had to cut shit out.
Yeah. I also like... Without the Nearly Headless Nick thing, there was no big incident where he ends up in Filch's office and sees that book, which leads Filch to think that he knows he's a squib.
Yeah.
So there's no talk of squibs in
there's
the
no
movie.
Squib doesn't exist
so
at all.
So to someone who's only seen the movie, that is not a concept. They might as well think that Filch is a magic janitor, which I cannot stress enough. It is so fucked up that they make him a janitor.
Yeah, they really... That's something you really need to understand.
Like that... Of all positions you could give a non-magical person, which I guess it's like, you can't be a teacher because you can't teach magic, but like...
I mean, he should have been a groundskeeper.
Yeah, he should have been what Hagrid is. Also, that's... Filch is who catches Harry standing over Justin Finch-Fletchley, who, you know, I don't think we even get his name in the movie. I think he's just...
We did, okay. Yeah.
So it's like, instead of Ernie being like caught in the act, it's like, it doesn't make sense that Filch has this vendetta for Harry.
Yeah, there. Well, he
without having that whole incident where he.
Well, there's the incident of he thought it was the one who did it to the cat, but there was an extra layer in the book.
Yeah, because in the book it's like he thinks he did it to the cat. Yes, because he's there, but also
because of that. Oh,
because he thinks he's
getting revenge from that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is kind of this. It doesn't make sense. And now in the movie, Filch is just this janitor who has decided to hate Harry Potter for some reason.
What else was terrible?
You know what I did like?
What?
And it's so small, but the way they decided to have him dive into the book when he starts writing in the diary, when it opens up.
Yeah, that was kind of
cool. I liked the, like, gold light.
Yeah.
Kind of it encompassing him. Because in the movie, they describe it like there's a small... They literally say there's a small television screen on the... Like, there's a small television screen on the diary, and then it just opens and opens, and suddenly he's in the TV.
Yeah.
Which maybe they just didn't know how to do it, but I feel like...
The way it was done in the movie.
Yeah, and I think that's like a quintessential clip that they used for the movie, or like that they use a lot of times in Harry Potter promotional stuff, is that fucking book lighting up thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ron. Some other stuff I like that were little ads. Oh, when they do the Polyjuice potion. When Harry forgets to take off his glasses.
Yeah.
And someone's like, why are you wearing glasses? And he's like, reading. I liked when Malfoy went, I didn't know you could read.
Yeah, that was great. Fucking great. That was just a solid line delivery.
Yeah.
That was fun watching them turn into Crabbe and Goyle.
Yeah, no, watching the big, like, animated explosion. The fucking... I don't know what I expected Hermione to look like, but the way they did her was kind of too cheesy for me.
Yeah, too cheesy.
Like, but it was what, 2000, early 2000s, which my thought was, I brought this up when we were watching the movie, was it shot to seem like it was shot in the early 90s, which is, quote, when it takes place?
Maybe.
Or maybe it was just, that's their budget. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Moaning Myrtle.
I mean, I feel like, oh God, Moaning Myrtle. What? I mean, I fucking love her.
I feel like you could have played that role. Yeah, do you know that she was 35?
Really?
That, like, when she was filming.
I mean, just a little bit older than I am now, but yeah, I could have played that.
Yeah, but it's like, she's supposed to be trapped. That's a 16-year-old is what we're looking at. And that was a fucking 35-year-old woman. I thought the way she interacted with Harry was cute, too. Her, like, little crush on him.
Yeah. She was great. Oh, I hope she comes back in future episodes.
Yeah. What did you think of... Same. So we all know, anyone who's been listening knows that you have this deep hatred for every book scene with Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the actor and his part in the movie?
Great. He was great. He was more likable than the character in the book.
That's so funny. But I feel like he nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. I mean, nailed it. I also love the little thing at the end when you go through all the credits and there's the scene where Gilderoy Lockhart is having another book.
Signing.
Who Am I?
Yeah, that's a really good
one. If you guys didn't know that,
yeah, if you watch
a secret thing. If you watch through all the credits at the end of movie two, there's like a hidden scene.
Yeah, a little like throwback. I don't know what else. I feel like there was one more. So when they see Hagrid get taken away, they also follow the spiders immediately. And I feel like there was a whole, I don't know what the scene in between was in the book, but
they go back inside. So Hagrid gets taken. Which I think was a good edit. I can't remember what it was that got cut out, but I feel like it was a good edit because we can't even remember it.
Yeah, no. So it made sense that they just go, okay, we'll follow the spiders immediately. And then the car doesn't show up until it's time to save the day.
Yeah.
And those fucking spiders.
I thought that was better. I love that the car showed up and saved the day.
Yeah. Me too. Because it's this very, like,
kind of didn't need to meet the car once, and then they go away, and then the car comes in to save the day.
No, it's like the car... And it gives this element of surprise of, like, oh, that's where the car has been. Yeah. What did you think of Aragog and all the spiders?
Oh God, the spider part, that was too much for me. I'm not a spider person.
Yeah.
Snakes I can handle. I mean, snakes. Barely.
Yeah, wait, what did you think of the chamber? Versus what you pictured with the book.
It's just far more ornate.
Yeah, it seemed like a very, like that someone had lived in and decorated the chamber in the movie.
The
book made it seem like it was this dirty, just a bare bones
dungeon.
Yeah, where I pictured like, you know, stone carving into the...
Yeah.
Into the wall. I'm like,
we have a dog really growling. What's the matter, Peach?
You're okay. Who knows? She probably heard the wind.
I love that you just took your book and you're like...
I went... And I just hit the book on my hand and...
That's it. I don't know why
that works. Loud clapping works. I don't hit her with books. I feel like I have to say that.
Yeah, she doesn't hit her with books. it's me with books. This book is used for me.
What have I told you about telling people about
the book? Keep your mouth shut.
I thought it seemed dingier, but it was cool what they did. It had a very, like, Indiana Jones vibe to me.
Very Indiana Jones vibe.
With the snake, which maybe I'm just doing that because it's a snake. But then the spider thing, even though this isn't part of Dark Crystal, the way the creature was made gave me very, like, Dark Crystal vibes.
Oh, Dark Crystal's so good.
Yeah.
Is Dark Crystal a book?
I don't think so. I think it was all made by Jim Henson's.
Oh, because I was going to say we should do that if it's a book.
Fuck, that'd be great. We should still watch it. You know what we could do is in between series, like as a palate cleanser, just individual, either one movie, one book that didn't have a series.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
That'd be good. I like that.
Oh, speaking of which, J.K. Rowling has released a new children's book, and we are going to be going through that with live readings only on Patreon. And we won't do podcast episodes about it. So if you want to be part of that, it's called the Ichabog. We'll start on those soon.
What's really important is that you guys help us get on J.K. Rowling's radar. Because we feel like we would be really good friends.
Yes. We want to help her make the book about Hagrid going back to school. That's what we started talking about, by the way. Why isn't there...
Hagrid needs to go back to school. Yeah,
Billy Madison with Hagrid as the star. Other than that, the book. The Polyjuice Potion wasn't in the restricted section, so we lose that kind of fun scene of Professor
Lockhart. Of Hermione having to get a permission slip signed. We lost that. And then, what was it at the end? Oh, everybody like receiving Hagrid when he comes back from Azkaban.
Oh, like it's like, first of all, did people even know that's where he was?
Yeah, no, it's like, to me, it's also like, why all of a sudden are we just like shoving Hagrid down everybody's throat? Like he's some sort of fucking hero. Like, I get it. Hagrid's beloved and wonderful. And
yeah, he's everyone's favorite, like,
sure,
you know, right, staff member. But it's like, it is bizarre. It felt to me, and I think we all agreed on this in the group watching it, that they were really trying to like family friendly it up and have, yeah, this big fucking American happy ending. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about some of the movies that we were chatting about in the live watch along, is that especially the first two were maybe a little too trying to make them this like happy kids thing, where it's, yeah, like, granted, it doesn't get, it's not that dark in the first two, but like, shit's about to start getting fucking crazy.
Is the third movie darker?
The third movie's darker, but then like fourth on is like fucking next level.
Okay.
Like, and the books too. Like, yeah, it's not like, this is, from here on out, it is no longer a children's story,
yeah,
in my opinion. In fact, I have a meme I found that I will post, that I'm going to show you after this, that explains it all.
All right, perfect.
But I mean, I guess that's it. Like,
Moki is not happy right now.
Like, what do you want us to say? I know, she's getting... You know what I like, too, is the beginning scene when they save him in the flying car. Uh-huh. Uncle Vernon reaching for him and flying out, uh-huh, the window.
Flying that out was the just window. Fun. Yeah, yeah, just that was like, great. Yeah.
Someone who hates flying out a window is always great.
I really love that they truncated the beginning so we got through all of the Dursley shit. I also love how they depicted the cake falling on her.
Yes, like going right over to her head.
And then Harry happened to be just right there when it
trying
happened.
Trying to like slowly stop it.
So it looked like he actually dropped it on her head.
Absolutely. Whereas in the movie, it just like falls off the fridge and makes a noise,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was way better. And then I thought the way they did the car following the train was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Harry flying.
The romping tree? I mean, that was I was picturing the Whomping Tree much smaller.
Oh, really? I, yeah, always pictured it big.
Oh, yeah, I was picturing it smaller, but just, like, more spindly branches, and then the spindly branches were coming down.
Yeah, I will say I think I was picturing the branches, and this felt like the whole tree was, like...
The whole tree was so big.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Ooh, what a, yeah, whomping, ooh,
what
willow.
What a trunk.
Oh, and then the one thing is that... my last sort of disgruntledness. In the book, Tom Riddle points out his similarities.
Yeah.
With Harry. He goes, oh, you never noticed that? Where in the movie,
Harry just kind of, it came to him when he was talking
to Dumbledore.
Yeah. I wish Tom would have been the one to point him out.
Like to use that against, yeah, him, because I like that sort of putting it in his head, like, oh, maybe you're a bad person, instead, yeah, of Harry going, well, what if... Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I guess I understand why they did it the way they did it, for just shooting reasons. But I like in the book that he puts on the sorting hat when the Phoenix drops it.
Yeah.
Because the Phoenix, so, you know, they're in the dungeon. He's like there with his basilisk. The Phoenix flies down and drops the sorting hat. And there's this whole ordeal of Tom Riddle being like, that's what Dumbledore sent you, a bird and a hat,
uh-huh,
which they sort of didn't really...
Something.
Yeah, but it wasn't as, like, I expected, like, a just cartoonishly villainous, like oh, my God. And then instead of Harry putting the hat on and it dropping sort of his head, it just shows up,
yeah,
in the hat laying on, yeah, the ground.
Also, speaking of villainous, Lucius Malfoy in the movie fucking murdered it.
Oh, he's so good at
so
being
good.
You hate him.
He's so evil. And also, the scene where Dobby gets his freedom was fucking spectacular.
Oh, yeah, great. And fucking vicious. I like also Lucius's cane. I'm not cane. His wand was, yeah, like in this like hardcore, like fucking. It reminded me of those old cigarette holders.
A pipette?
Yeah. But yeah, he's. Yeah, there is, like, no...
I'm excited to see him in future episodes.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, the way she's painted him in this, mm-hmm, like, you just go, this is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
Yeah.
There's no possible way he could redeem himself.
Yeah.
Right?
He is hot.
Love me a bad boy. He is really hot.
Daddy Lush can get it.
I would like
it.
Him to take that wand and just stick it...
Wand me in
all
the...
my holes.
In the holes.
Yeah. Just put a curse on me, Daddy. Curse me, Daddy.
Curse.
fuck you, bitch. No, like, a little more aggressive with the cursing.
Yeah, no, like, make me uncontrollably seize from your cursing. Curse me, daddy.
Oh, I love this dog.
For those of you who are only listening, my dog is sitting on Nicole's lap, and she's falling in love. For those of you who are watching, my tits aren't as big as they look on this video. I don't know why they look so big. Anyway, join my Patreon. All right, well,
that's it. That's our wrap up.
So we're going to start book two. We will be doing a reading of
book
the
three.
First
book three.
Wow, book three. Fuck. Can't believe we're on book three already. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Uh-huh.
This Saturday evening.
Saturday evening, yes.
We'll post the exact time. Probably, what, did we say 7 p.m.? PST. We'll post the exact time on the Patreon, so you have to be a patron to be part of the live readings, but we will be live reading the book. We did it for a few chapters last time, and we're gonna do it for the whole thing this time. And then if you can't make it, we will start posting the videos in the Patreon as well for people who can't make it to every reading. But patreon.com/twofilthynerds. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We would love to have you. We're posting shit on both of those places at twofilthynerds. And we'll also be starting on the Patreon, the Ichabog. So,
oh God, it's gonna be
readings,
so good.
Discussions.
Yes!
And by the way, we don't just do live readings and then that's the end. We always do a discussion after each chapter.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm still posting, chapter readings of each chapter for patrons, but now they will be the conversation version because those are more fun when we stop and go like, what the fuck is happening?
Yes.
Yeah. So, if you haven't already, hit your subscribe button to just subscribe to the podcast. That doesn't cost you a penny. You can also join our Facebook group, the Fellowship of the Filthy Nerds. We would love to have you having conversations over there. And if you could, please go leave us a review. We want more of those.
We need them.
Yes, we need them.
They matter.
They matter.
And tell a friend, you know?
Yeah, share with a friend.
If you're a Potterhead, you must know other Potterheads.
Yeah, we...
spread the love.
Yeah. We need you. We want you. We want more people to fucking... lose our minds with.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, nerds.
Bye,
see you next
nerds.
Time.